That is a breath of fresh air. If some guy told Lee that he loves to listen to our podcast while he's on the throne, Steve, does that mean we're like a human laxative? I think Bowles is a little late to the party, Steve, but I think he's arrived. In my crazy mind.
All right, Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. He has soaked in that Buccaneers victory and all the angles and everything it means, and we are here to talk about it today. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Bill Curry Ford is the presenting sponsor of everything Ira. If you love Ira, you thank Bill Curry Ford, and you can do that by going to their website, BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan continues to hand out $500 gift cards to anyone who orders a new vehicle, and you can use their concierge easy ordering service on their website if you want to go that route, BillCurryFord.com. No deposit. Nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. And of course, the Bill Curry name comes behind it. Competitive pricing. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. Sean will give you $500 if you go to another Ford dealer and find a price that you like and want him to beat it, or that's better than his price. He's going to give you $500 if he can't beat that price. So it's pretty impressive. BillCurryFord.com, 64 years in Tampa, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Sage, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. People were raising glasses to Bucks victory on Sunday. We'll talk about Big Storm Beer and their Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, the legendary beer there later. Of course, all the Oktoberfest beers are coming into the tap rooms. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. Do not mess around when you have any damage in your home, storm damage, any kind of property damage, flood, mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They'll come out, give you an evaluation of your property, and they'll work with your insurance company because they know how to combat the corruption and the ripoffs that happen if you try to go it alone. Floridaselite Restoration.com. We'll talk about them later too, Sage. Everybody can check out their website, though, to learn what they do. Sage, exciting times. The Buccaneers won. Now, you called them a lively underdog. You had a good feeling about the Bucs entering this game. You know, Lee and I felt this was a winnable spot for sure. But you know what? They went in there, and I was just happy. Ira, we all want to hear from you first, but I was just very happy at the level of hard, tough play and the level of clean, non-stupid play, three penalties and a lot of good stuff going on and so much to improve. What do you want to tell everybody now that it's all soaked in?
Steve, I think it was great that so many people stepped up. Now, look, I think Minnesota is an average team. I think they're going to win 8 games, maybe 9. But that doesn't take away from the victory, and here's why. First of all, Minnesota was 8-1 at home last year. That's a fact. Minnesota won all the close games. That's a fact in 2022. So the Bucks went on the road and used the same formula that the Vikings used. We're going to win the close games, and the Bucks did it. Steve, there's so many people. I mean, let's start at the end. What a catch by Godwin. What a fantastic catch by Godwin. I think there might be 5-10 guys in the league that could have caught that ball, and he's one of them. Devin White stepped up big. Lavani played a very good game. Winfield, the undrafted rookie from Rutgers, made his mark. Cansey, in a small package size, flashed. Mayfield, of course, with an excellent second half. And, Lee, I'll tell you who else stepped up. The head coach. The head coach. And I've been thinking about this, Lee. Tell me if I'm crazy. The low point of last season was the blowout loss to Dallas. All right, there's no getting around that. The season was on the line, and they didn't show up. You can't get any lower than that. In my crazy mind, the number two low point of the season was when Todd Bowles stood at the podium and said, I was worried that Brady might throw an interception. I think that was the second low point of the season, and I think that was the moment, and Bowles didn't have a lot of fans going into that game. I think it was the Cleveland game. He lost a ton of respect from Buck fans when he said that. Even if he thought it, Lee, he shouldn't have said it. But he did. He mentioned Tom Brady, who I think, Lee, might have had 2 interceptions, maybe 3, on the season. when Bowles said that. So what happens on Sunday? Lee tie game. Bucks deep in their own territory. 8 minutes left. Fourth and inches. Didn't even think twice. Come on or take a seat. You're not going anywhere. And they made it. They didn't make it by much, Lee, but they made it. And finally, DeKemper, they ran behind Tristan Wirfs. Finally, Lee. Wirfs and Filer. Smart. And just like the opposite's true, I think Bowles gained some Buck fans with that decision. I said on this podcast, Lee, months ago, and I wasn't very specific, but I said he's going to be more assertive this year. He's going to coach differently this year. I think that's the first episode or example that we saw, and it's not going to be the last, Lee. He's not going to punt from the other team's 38-yard line anymore on fourth and three. If there's a chance to make it, he's not going to think negatively, and he's not going to think conservatively, even though that might go against some of his natural instincts. That is a breath of fresh air.
On his sit-down with Dan Lucas yesterday, I thought someone drugged him. He said, you can't be conservative when you go up there, up there being Minnesota. You can't be conservative when you go up there. I'm like, is this the same guy that said he was scared Tom Brady was going to throw a pick? And by the way, Ira, that was my lowest point of the season. The fact that they got blasted by Dallas actually really wasn't a surprise. It was very much a surprise when the Bucs looked like they were about ready to win the game. Brady was moving the team, and Bowles took the ball out of his hands and said he was scared Brady would throw a pick. And up to that point, he had two interceptions all season.
That was a big moment.
That was when I came to the realization what all the Jets fans were saying about Bowles. It's like, oh, no. You're taking a ball out of Tom Brady's hands, but you're putting a ball in Baker Mayfield's hands. What am I not getting here? But I think you're absolutely right, Ira, that I think Bowles knows that if he plays the way he has coached the last 4 or 5 years as a head coach, he will not be a head coach next year.
Lee, I think that's a great point. Steve, it might be a realization, and it came hard. And for our money, I think the three of us, it came a little late. But I think there's a realization, Steve. The game's changed. You know, this is not 1993. And, Steve, on fourth and short all over this league, teams are going for it because it's so tough to stop the other team when you punt the ball over to them. And you might as well go for it. And I think Bowles is a little late to the party, Steve, but I think he's arrived.
Well, Sage, I hope so. Because it was fun, and we have to be honest here, we'd all be killing him if he went for it on his own 32-yard line in a tie game and missed. We'd be saying, what are you doing? Your defense is making big plays, and you've adjusted the defense here in the second half. You know, like Matt Ryan said on the broadcast, I didn't like the call, but I like the result. You know, good for you, Bucks. It's a tricky spot, Ira, but I like it. And they ran actually, if you look, pull up the film, Ira, they went right behind Filer and with a little shaded toward the center there, Mr. Hainsey. But a good call. And you know what? The 57-yard field goal, not everybody would do that. But he trusted his kicker. And that's exactly why they got the guy in the dome. And it all worked out for Bowles. But yeah, an aggressive mentality. He said it on the radio show, his exclusive interview with Buccaneers Radio Network right after the game. I said, you know, you come all this way, you got to be aggressive. I'm thinking, how many miles is Minnesota from Cleveland, you know? I'm like, is this going to qualify in Buffalo? Is that far enough when you go there later? You know, it was just funny because he sort of had like a mileage connotation to it. It was a little, little strange, but yeah, it was a different Bowles, and good coaches learn from their mistakes, and Bowles knows he has to be more aggressive.
Tell me if you guys agree with me. I mentioned this on the my takeaways on Sunday night. Mayfield had a good second half. There's no question about it. You know, Evans showed up, and Godwin made that great catch. But, Lee, if I'm giving out the game ball, I'm giving it to the defense. They could have easily been 10 points down at the half without that defense. The offense did absolutely nothing, Lee, in the first half. Virtually nothing. First five possessions, awful. Lee, they got the ball at the Minnesota 18 after a takeaway. They didn't gain a yard in three plays, Lee. They didn't gain 1 yard before kicking the field goal. So I'm not giving that offense, I'm not doing backflips for Canales. Not yet, Lee. Not yet. And Minnesota's defense, I think, is lousy. It's a lousy defense. So hats off to the defense, Lee. You thought the Buck defense had a chance to be really good. I think you feel even stronger about that right now.
it just hit me. I know we, when I say we, as Steve and I, have used this photo before. You know, Steve wrote about Jake Camardo's historic marks. And the photo that Steve used, it just hit me, is a spitting image picture of Joseph Stalin's son as a German POW in World War II.
I'm not making this up.
It looks just like Joe Stalin's son as a POW. Anyway, I just had to say that. It just struck me. I'm like, whoa. And anyway, the interesting thing about the defense, Ira, one of the cool things is when you go on the road, you get to meet a whole lot of cool people. I've met a couple of Bucks fans that are avid readers. One guy said he loves to listen to this very podcast while he's on the throne. I thought that was very interesting. He was staying at my hotel, the Westin downtown. I met a couple guys. I met a guy in my flight nightmare in Denver. They sent me to freaking Denver after they blew up my itinerary. I got sent to Denver.
Oh boy.
And I met a guy there that's from Tampa. Both those guys gave Joe Buck's fan shout outs on Twitter over the weekend. But the defense, one guy I spoke with, his son is on the Bucks defense. And he was telling me, his son told him that the Bucks defensive mentality, and I guess they're getting this from the coaches, the first few weeks of the season, they expect the offense to struggle because everything is so new. You know, you got new blocking schemes, you got new offensive coordinator, you got a new quarterback. Even Mike Evans just spoke about he's running routes he's never run before. Everything is so new to these guys, and everybody's learning each other because everything's so new. You got a rookie starting on offensive line. I could go on. And the defense, I trust this guy. This guy's son told his dad, the Bucks want the defense to carry the team for the first few weeks of the season until the offense starts gelling, starts getting in a groove, starts getting in a rhythm, and everything's much more smoother. They expect the offense to sputter in the first few weeks of the season, and I think we saw exactly that Sunday, specifically in the first half.
That's a very wise mentality, Steve, by the Buck defense. By the way, Hizbits, if some guy told Lee that he loves to listen to our podcast while he's on the throne, Steve, does that mean we're like a human laxative, Steve, this podcast?
That's a good question. I guess we have to know when he starts listening. Like, does he turn it on while he's on the throne, or is he listening and then feels he has to go? Yeah, that would be the question. Hey, Sage, I got to slap you around a little bit, and in this, only because it's one point that I think has to get out there because it – they didn't show a good replay on the television broadcast, and nobody really talked about it, but Dave Canales did reference it tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It's Tuesday, and it was obvious if you go into the film, and this is why I have to slap you around. You know, it's the first quarter, and we can say what we want about Canales, but, you know, Baker Mayfield fires a ball over the middle to Cade Otton. He can't hold on. It's right there. He gets separated from the ball, and that's an incompletion, you know, a fine pass. But okay, we'll let that go. The next play, the very next play, is a 45-yard deep shot to Mike Evans. That was a straight-up drop, Ira. It is obvious on film, straight-up drop. Charlie Weiss, of all people, was railing about it on SiriusXM NFL radio, but it's there. The fans saw it. And I can't fault Canales for calling the deep shot. It was there. It's in Evans' hands. He doesn't squeeze it. I mean, this guy's a Hall of Fame receiver, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a break there. It's a different game if that ball is caught. It's also a different game if Mayfield throws a little bit lower to Kokeeft, who's at the one-yard line. I think, you know, the three is probably seven. So I don't think it was as bad as it looked in some ways.
Well, I was at Big Storm in Clearwater, Steve, and I got to tell you, I believe the first two passes went to Kokeeft, and about six people dropped their Bay beers when that happened. Of course, they were incomplete, and everybody looked at each other and said the same thing. Kokeeft, question mark, when you got Evans and Godwin running down there. Now, Steve, you made some fair points, but one thing we have to say, Lee, on a very jubilant post-victory podcast, Lee, we acknowledge what needs to be acknowledged on this podcast, and that's why we're number one. Lee, the running game, what's going on? Rashad White, the guy's long run was 6 yards. Now, again, were the holes there? Probably not. But whatever the reason, Lee, I hope this doesn't last the whole season. Otherwise, I think it's going to mess this team up.
Well, Sage, he sucks until he proves otherwise. That's pretty much where we are right now. He doesn't have the burst when they hand him the ball. Everything's too slow. He's just not doing that. So they can coach that out of him, you would hope. But he was known for having a patient running style, and it sort of bit him in the ass last year a little bit, and now definitely yesterday. But as Lee had mentioned previously, if he doesn't correct it, they're going to give that ball to Sean Tucker, who I don't think is going to have some of the same challenges. Canales on the radio tonight hinted that, you know, they like the burst from Edmonds, and that while they got 52% of their plays were 4-yard runs or more, so those were efficient runs, and they were looking for 50% efficient runs. They had zero explosive runs, and that can't happen. So their focus this week is explosive runs. We have to get them. And, you know, White didn't have a good game. He was complaining about it on the radio as well. He was not happy about it. Doesn't mean he can't snap out of it, but I don't think they're going to be very patient with White if he can't get it done.
And Lee, on the explosive play thing, I think it's also worth noting going forward. We'll see if things change against Chicago on Sunday. But Lee, they only had one explosive play through the air, and that was the long touchdown pass to Evans. That was it. Meanwhile, Cousins, I think, had eight completions of 18 yards or more. The Bucs had one. So we'll see going forward. But they got the win, Lee. So, you know, a lot of the things we're not going to dwell on the negatives there after a nice win. But I'll say this, Lee, and we'll talk more about the Bears later in the week on the second podcast. But, Lee, I might be right about this. This coming game, this might be the only game this year that the Bucs are favored. We got to see. We got to see. Carolina's got to come to Tampa. But right now, the Bucs are favored Sunday, as they should be. You know, and then they play Philly, and then they got to go to New Orleans. So, Lee, it might be a while before the Bucs are favored again.
Might be. Yeah, that's true. It might be. Isn't that the only game the Bucs are favored? You know, Vegas boys, the Sharps?
I got to think they could be favored against Carolina, Steve, at home, I would think.
Yeah, I don't really know, Ira, but I do know I watched the Saints and the Titans that game, and man, the Titans got screwed by a very, very bad call that I don't understand even on the replay. And all the NFL commentary, even the CBS, I guess it's Gene Steratore, thought it was going to be ruled a fumble. And it wasn't. And it was like a 10-point turnaround in that game. I mean, the Saints did not look very good at all. I mean, Chris Olave is a very, very talented guy, but they just did not look good.
I got a friend in New Orleans, and they said the Saints looked really bad. That's what they said. They thought the Saints looked terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the Bucs have a real opportunity here. I know Lee was in the locker room, of course. I thought Mayfield didn't just win the game, Ira. He won over the hearts of Bucs fans with these sacrifice your body, Jeff Garcia style runs. And he also won over his teammates that were freaking out over him laying out his body right in front of their bench for all to see. And of course, you know, Bowles went on Sirius, and I haven't heard Bowles praise a player like he did Mayfield as far as leadership and the way the guys respond to him. And he, you know, he'll put his face in the fan. Like, Bowles sounded like a cheerleader. It's like he's won over the whole organization.
He might be the right guy at the right time in the right town. And by that, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever going to replace Mike Allstott as the number one fan favorite in franchise history. I think that's a given, and I think you can, you don't have to write that in chalk. Nobody's going to beat Mike Allstott, and I'm okay with that. Lee, this is a blue-collar community. It is. This is not San Francisco. And they like a guy, you know, with, you want to call it moxie. I guess people are using that word on Mayfield. Plays with abandon, you know, wears his emotions on the sleeve. This town likes people like that, Lee, especially when they win. So I don't think it's a great stretch that this town could fall in love with Mayfield if the Bucs are successful.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not going to get crazy here and try to say Mayfield already is more popular than Tom Brady. Let's calm down. But,
right.
You know, as long as the Bucs win, this town likes, you know, I remember Mark Caboli, who covers the Steelers for The Athletic. He said Pittsburgh's the only town that would stand to give an offensive lineman a standing ovation. Well, I said, Tristan Wirfs is beloved in this town, and I saw and heard with my own eyes a playoff game when Ryan Jensen waved off a trainer when he got hurt during a playoff game, and he waved the trainer off the field. He got a standing ovation. This town loves physical guys. Allstott, physical guy. Derek Brooks, physical guy. And when you see a quarterback who's not afraid to mix his nose in there and stiff arm and get the scepter for the angry runs, fans love that. Fans love that, that linebacker mentality. They love that. If the bus continue to win and Mayfield makes clutch plays like that where he almost gets beheaded and he throws a linebacker or a defensive back, he stiff arms him, they're going to embrace Mayfield. They really are.
Steve, another quick point about the Buck passing game. I think it needs to be acknowledged. First half pass protection, I would say okay. Hunter got through on one, but he's a heck of a player, Danielle Hunter. Yeah. Steve, the second half, and by the way, if you look at the two touchdown passes, the one to Evans and the one to Palmer, Steve, you probably watched this game about 8 times on tape. Tell me if I'm wrong. Mayfield had all day to throw on both of those passes, all day. A tremendously clean pocket on the pass to Evans. Beautiful pocket. And he bought himself some time, and he had time to find Palmer, who probably wasn't the first option on the route. I thought the pass protection, Steve, in the second half was pretty darn stout.
Hey, look, it was strong, Ira, and the offensive line was good. I told you I wasn't worried about them. You must have asked me 4 different times, do I want to change my stance on the offensive line? No, I don't. I we've said it before. We trust Jason Light with picking talent, and the coaches are at least decent for sure. And I think they'll be okay. There's talent there. These guys aren't a bunch of undrafted free agents or something. Mayfield on that Palmer throw, a nice sidearm adjustment there. If Patrick Mahomes makes that throw, it's all over SportsCenter all night long. Mayfield makes it, nobody says a word with the how he adjusted his arm there. But here's an interesting number, Sage, which surprised a lot of people. I had even a couple of emails told me it's wrong, and I'm like, I looked it up, and it's not wrong. They just didn't believe it. Next Gen Stats, which you know is out there, they track everybody, their uniforms and the microchips and the balls, and they know exactly how fast everybody's running and all these things. Everybody knows about Next Gen Stats. They've been around now. It's their 8th season, I believe. So Mayfield's time to throw in that game, from which is the elapsed time from the snap to his release, was 2.47 seconds. That was third best in week 1. Tom Brady led the league last year in 2.45 seconds as an average. So Mayfield, even with some of those scrambles and stuff, he was, getting the ball out super fast. And he had time as well. It looked really good at times. Now, again, they didn't put up a lot of yardage. Todd Bowles did say on his radio show tonight, I got to get the exact language, but he pretty much said, without the exact quote, they're committed to getting Godwin and Evans 1,000-yard seasons each. And I'm looking forward to writing that up. But they're going to pass more. I would think they're very happy with the O-line play.
Absolutely. Lee, Jamel Dean, I thought he had a decent game, a quiet game. And I'll say this, Lee, and Buck fans, they don't really want to give too much credit to opposing players. But, Lee, sometimes you have to. And I know the guy didn't do much in the second half, but Jefferson is a fantastic player. 138 yards in the first half, Lee. And I thought the Bucs were playing good defense at the time. The guy's great, just like Tyreek Hill. I mean, the guy's great. What are you going to say? He's great. Mm-hmm. What a play by Carlton Davis. Lee, I didn't notice him all game. And then on the biggest third down of the game, Davis makes a great play. And Winfield's all over the field, Lee. I mean, I don't want to pick on the coaches, but why they ever thought of messing with Winfield last year and moving him around to a different responsibility package? I never got that, Lee. Leave the guy alone, Lee. He's a heck of a player. He might be one of the 3 or 4 best safeties in football. And by the way, Jordan Whitehead, he's off to quite a start too, Lee.
Oh, yeah, and I know people are whining about Whitehead. The Bucs could have kept Whitehead, and in doing so, they probably would have lost Chris Godwin. So
they didn't want to lose him. But,
they didn't want to lose him.
You're right.
That nasty thing called a salary cap. They can't pay everybody what they want, And as much as I like Jordan Whitehead, he's not Chris Godwin. I'm sorry. And what about that play Chris Godwin made to seal the win? Was that a ridiculous catch?
Absolutely ridiculous, Steve.
That was your opening monologue, Sage, that Chris Godwin catch.
You know, after the game, Godwin spoke about that. And Godwin, he's like, I can't remember who asked him about it. You know, that obviously everybody wanted to know about that play. There was a crowd of people around Godwin. I was one of them. He tried to say, it's just a simple off play. Just like that. It's a simple off play. No big deal. Oh, whatever. You know, simple play. And after about two or three questions, I said, Chris, you're trying to say that's a simple play. That was anything but a simple play. You had to fingertip catch that ball and in the same movement get your feet down. I said, that was a tough play. And he goes, well, yeah, I guess. You know, but that's how humble the guy is, you know?
Ira Lee, I saw the video on that, and Lee broke him. All of a sudden, Godwin, he couldn't hold back, dropped a big smile. He's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I broke him. Yeah, he goes, well, yeah. But that's how humble the guy is. You know, he's a very much a team first guy, and that's why Light didn't have any issue with tagging him twice and paying him big money. Because not only you bring this up often, Ira, you know, a lot of times you're dealing with diva personalities. You don't have that with Evans. You don't, even though some people are upset that he's demanding money. You don't have that diva mentality with Evans. You don't have that diva mentality with Godwin. Right now on Twitter, I'm watching a video where Evans is just blowing a guy up on a block to spring a Bucks ball carrier on a pass play in the flat. You know, he's selfless. And Godwin's the same way.
Evans' dissatisfaction with his contract status and the way he's handled it, Lee, in no way, and I mean in no way, do I feel, and I don't think most Buck fans feel, it changes their attitude about Mike Evans being a team player through and through. Not one iota. Matter of fact, it might even enhance it, the way he's handled himself like a true professional. There was, a few tense moments when people didn't know whether he would hold out or whatever. But when the smoke clears, Steve, he's playing football. He just scored a 28-yard touchdown. And he's in great shape and he's enthusiastic. I don't think it's a detriment or a dent in Evans' reputation in any manner.
Sage, owner Josh Martin, he doesn't own the Bucks. He owns Florida's Elite Restoration. He's got $500 for Bucks fans. When you call them in your time of need, if you have a fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, when you first call Florida's Elite Restoration, mention Ira or mention JoeBucksFan.com. And after your free evaluation, if you need their services, they will give you $500. Maybe that's cash for your deductible or just cash back if you're paying to have them restore your property after a flood or something like that. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check them out today so you're prepared for tomorrow. And remember, Ira sent you, and they are great people. We know them personally. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Now, I have got a couple of important points here, Ira, and I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. I've also got a question that you might find ridiculous, but I think it's a very, very important question right now, Sage. But Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer is available at the tap rooms in Odessa, Orlando, at the Amway Center, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, Cape Coral, and Ybor City, Centro Ybor upstairs. Great new location, a lot of fun there, a lot of partying at night up there at Big Storm. To follow all the Big Storm tap rooms on social media, you can find them. And just plug in Big Storm Ybor and you can see their schedule of events. Big Storm is fantastic, Sage. I got to tell you this, Ira. Now, you know, I don't know what to do with myself, but I looked at the rotation. The Bucks were constantly rotating. Yaya Diaby, rookie, he got 26 snaps off the edge there. And all the way down, he got more time than Anthony Nelson, who was absolutely fantastic. Three quarterback hits in that game. Tryon Shayanka didn't really do too much. But the run defense was incredibly stout. Right now, the Bucks are the number one ranked run defense in the league. So I wanted to ask you your opinion of the run defense and all the rotating. And I still don't understand, Ira, Vita Vea, 38 snaps, all the defensive tackles on the Vikings playing a lot more than that. Why can't this guy get on the field? He's the most expensive part-time player in the league.
Well, Steve, I think we have to acknowledge that the Bucks know a lot more about this in terms of when a guy's effectiveness drops off than we do. There is sports science. The Bucks are cutting edge. They're not behind everybody. Lee, they've added a lot in that area, a lot of resources. Now, they monitor these things. Lee, they do. And in their opinion, there's, you know, a sort of a sweet spot for Vita Vea, whether we like it or not, whether we say, hey, he's your best defensive lineman, get him out there, you know, 65% of the snaps. They don't see it that way. And nothing changed on Sunday. Lee, in terms of rotating defensive linemen, I think it's great. I think it's a great idea. The freaking Philadelphia Eagles get applauded for it every other day on national television that they're eight deep on the D-line, and they keep rotating these guys to keep them fresh. Now, I'm not confusing William Golston with Hassan Reddick at this point, Lee. I'm not. but the fact is, you know, they're eight deep, Philly. The Bucs eight deep? No. But I think there's an advantage, Steve, to keeping these guys fresh. And if that's what their decision is with Vea, I'm not going to argue with it, Steve. I'm not.
The Niners also do the same thing. They may not be as deep as Philly, but they try to do the same thing. They do. I know in the perfect world you want an expensive guy on the field more, but gosh darn, if their stats say that his production drops off after X amount of snaps, and what are you going to do? Oh, we'll prove you wrong. We'll put him out there. And meanwhile, he gets blown up. Well, I don't see what the point is. I know it's an irritant for Steve, but I don't have an issue. As long as he produces, I don't have an issue with it.
The run defense was fantastic. Logan Hall got the most snaps with 62%. He's definitely looked stronger out there. It's just mind-boggling. Mike Green, who would have thought he would play half the snaps yesterday? Mike Green, bottom of the roster defensive tackle guy. Bowles is saving these guys, and look, Kancey's going to eat a lot of snaps when he gets back, but it's obvious that you know, they'll probably let him play as much as he can until his speed drops off. They'll figure whatever his magic number is that takes away some of his speed. Anything else, though, Ira, on the defense?
Steve, you know, even though admittedly, can't see small sample size. Steve, what'd you say? 11 snaps, something like that?
Yeah.
Very, very small. But Lee, even within those 11 snaps, I said in our last podcast, you know, when Steve asked us for our predictions, who's going to step up on defense? I said can't see, you know, for the season. And it's tough to pick a rookie, you know, to step up like that. When there's other guys around, I could have said Devin White. I could have said Carlton Davis or whatever. Winfield. I said Kancey. Lee, in those 11 snaps, I didn't see any reason that makes me second-guess my optimism about Kancey. I think the guy's going to be a heck of a player.
A handful of plays he was out there. He blew my mind how quick he was. And the one that really jumped out, and I'm sure, if CBS didn't do this, shame on them. The time that he drilled Cousins in the ribs, I loved how the Bucs, I don't know if it was Bowles, I don't know if it was Casey Rogers, had him lined up way out to the left. You wouldn't put a defensive end out there that far. He was almost like a linebacker. He was so far out there, and he came barreling through on a loop, and there was a lane for him. And
yeah,
I couldn't believe how quick he was.
Yeah, he lined up on the left side, right, Lee? And then he looped in. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That just blew me away how quick he was.
Steve, he covered a lot of ground in a hurry on that play. He did.
Sage, we don't have to get into it because it's not that interesting, frankly, but you know, we've given the Bucs special teams a lot of heat over the last couple of years. They've deserved it, and they were pretty close to, I'll give them an A- in this game. They didn't have any fancy returns, but the returns were okay. The coverage was good. The punting was extraordinary. The 57-yard field goal under pressure for the win, pretty good.
Absolutely, Steve. Absolutely. We're not used to saying that around here because usually I say, you know, Steve, maybe the Chiefs can get away with it. And by the way, the Chiefs special teams haven't been very good for the last year or two, even though their coach has got a big reputation. But they've struggled a little bit, but Lee, they got enough talent, they can overcome that kind of stuff, and they can still win 13 games. And I've been saying the Bucs are not like that, certainly not in the last year. They're not overwhelming people with talent on the roster, but with an advantage that you can get away with poor special teams. And Lee, we know about my buddy Rick Goslin's annual rankings, and the Bucs always do poorly. So they're off to a good start in that regard. And boy, Lee, that was a sweet field goal by McLaughlin. I think he had about a 5-yard cushion. I think that would have been good beyond 60.
I do know that he was 9 of 12 in 50-yard field goals. 50-yard.
He was.
Club.
He was last year. I think it might have been 9 of 11. Might have been 9 of 11.
You were talking about special teams, and the guy that jumps out to me. Well, obviously McLaughlin made a nice kick, but the guy that jumps out to me that I saw there in person and I've referenced this guy previously this summer. His play at cornerback stinks, but his play on special teams is very good. Is Ryan McCullough?
Ryan Smith, the modern day Ryan Smith, right? Yeah, modern day Ryan Smith, rotten
cornerback, very good special teams guy. He sure impressed me the way he was getting down the field as a gunner on the kickoff team. So, and he's a good special teams player.
Ryan McCullum, you know, it's just his strength, and he obviously has a lot of confidence with it, which, you know, hopefully that translates over to him playing corner, but hopefully he doesn't have to play corner. And these guys can
see Ryan McCullough.
Zion McCullough. Ira, now, we didn't really talk about Antoine Winfield too much. You did a little bit, but obviously a tremendous game. And, yeah, we've all expected a lot from him, and we've talked so much about him. And good for him going back home for that and getting that done. But, Sage, I got to ask you this. You saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers Monday night. He's gone for the year. Do you think Jason Light gets a phone call about Kyle Trask? And I'm going to ask you this for a certain reason. I'm not saying he's their starter. But they got to be sniffing around. They did get a look in person, in the flesh, at Kyle Trask. They watch him practice with the first team up in New York. He threw the deep ball well in that practice. Looked pretty good. They clearly talk about players when they're face-to-face. You know, these teams talk with each other about their different players and stuff. Yes, the Jets are probably looking for a veteran quarterback. They may not be able to afford one. There's a lot of rumors about them trading for Jameis Winston. But do you think Jason Light gets a call on Kyle Trask if he was really a true starting competition player?
Not only do I think he gets a call, but I'll tell you what. I don't think Light's interested in training Trask at this point, because you're not going to get the return that the Bucs are looking for. And who says Mayfield's going to play 16 games, 17 games? We don't know that, Lee. I think Trask upped his game enough in the eyes of the Buck establishment, Lee, that they consider him a very solid option if Mayfield should go down for three or four games, that he can win games for this team. And if they offer me a fourth-round draft pick for Kyle Trask, I'm hanging up the phone and saying, forget about it. Lee, and you're not getting a first-rounder for Kyle Trask. I mean, let's be honest, Lee. The guy's thrown nine NFL passes. Still, I don't think Jason Light's in any hurry at all to dump Kyle Trask on anybody at this moment, because, Lee, one twisted ankle and you need your backup to come in there and win games, and this team thinks they can win this division, I'm not giving up Kyle Trask for a fourth round draft pick.
Ira, I can't believe what you're saying. We're talking about a guy that's never thrown nine passes, and you're getting, and someone's offering you a fourth round pick. I couldn't pull the trigger quick enough.
Well, Lee, you're the guy that says he's made huge strides. Huge.
That doesn't mean if someone's going to overpay for him. You know, a guy that you, number one, you don't plan on using. Let's be honest here. You don't plan on using him. Someone's going to give you a fourth-round pick for a guy that the best he can do for your team, hopefully, is wear baseball cap, right? My gosh, I can pull the trigger quick enough, number one. Number two, Wolford, I think. If I'm the Jets, if I'm looking at any Bucks backup, I ain't looking at Trask. I'm looking at Wolford. You know, why would you go out and trade for a guy who's got no experience? You want someone with experience to come in and play. I don't want a guy with no experience. I mean, between Trask and Zach Wilson, I hate to say it, but I'm sticking with Wilson. At least you know what you got. At least the guy's had a few games under his belt. And this dovetails perfectly into what Steve came up with, where Trask allegedly said at halftime that he had the Vikings defense all figured out. And that was probably a big reason why the
Mayfield
had it all figured out. You know, and people say, well, you know, the people that are just adamant that the NFL cannot hold any more games until Kyle Trask starts for the Bucs, you know, what's experience mean? Well, right there's what experience means. Let's get a grip on ourselves here.
Well, I think I'm on to something here. You're Jason Light. You get a phone call. We'll give you a fourth-round pick. It's probably going to be a low fourth-round pick. Jets got a good team. Steve, are you in a hurry to dump a guy that you got in the second round for a fourth-round pick right in front of the Glazers? I mean, are you in a hurry to do that?
Yes, and I'll tell you why, Ira. I know you want Steve to respond, and he'll respond. I'm telling you why. You use that fourth-round pick as collateral to go get your quarterback next year, which we all know the Glazers want and covet a first-round draft pick of a quarterback. And look at all these guys that are going to be coming out next year. Yes, Yes. That's not just smart ball in the present. That's smart ball down the road.
Well, it's still a fourth round pick, Lee. I mean, it's not like
I get it. But every little bit helps. Every little bit helps.
Yeah, Sage, I don't really have an opinion other than I look forward to them re-signing Mayfield for $30 million a year after he has a good season. I mean, I just figured I'd ask you if Light was going to get a call. They got a good look at him. And, you know, I think the Jets could potentially have interest in a quarterback if they are like, well, you know what? We're going to roll with Wilson. We don't like the veterans too much. Maybe we can get Trask in here. Let him, you know, let him soak it in the offense for a month and we liked him. If Wilson stinks, we'll give him a try, you know, because they may be looking at drafting a quarterback too. They may see it as, hey, this is our chance to tank without Aaron Rodgers, although they did win that game. But I figured I'd ask you, Ira. It's just, it's goofy right now, but I understand what you're saying. Why would Jason Light want to do that? It's not going to help Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles would lose his mind. Because he's going to think it's not going to help him keep his job. But it is, fun to think about. Sage, before we get out of here, let me again thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. Email Sean Sullivan today, the GM. Get that Ira Kaufman discount in addition to all their great specials, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Find them at Florida'sElitereStoration.com today so you know where they are when you need them, when that disaster strikes. And, of course, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Found wherever you find great craft beer. You'll find a Big Storm variety. Sage, you got a final thought for Bucks fans who are, look, they're just in ecstasy. This is why you watch and wait for a game, because they won. And you can walk around, Publix and wherever else you go, Ira, hold your head up high and say, I'm a Bucks fan, and all's good. But what's your thought here for Bucks Nation?
All right, here's my message to Buck Nation. Don't be discouraged if you come out for Sunday's game, and Lee and I will be there, and you find out that, you know, 28% of the fans are rooting for the Bears. Don't be discouraged. For the three Brady years, it adjusted a little bit. But, Lee, when the Giants come to town, and when the Cowboys come to town, Lee, and when the Bears come to town, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. The Rays go through it. When the Red Sox and Yankees roll in, it's Tampa. And we have to understand that. The hardcore Buck fans will outshout the Bears fans. And, Lee, you got to think Buck fans are going to have a lot more to shout about on Sunday. I don't even want to think about the Bucks tripping up and losing this game. The Bears are not very good, Lee. They're not very good.